ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Imagine leaving everything that you know about your life and heading to remote Western Australia to live in hiding with your family. Well, imagine you're hiding from the Russian government while also trying to secure a visa to stay in Australia. That's the reality that construction worker Nick Stride found himself in. Originally from the UK, he met his wife Luda in Russia and was working on a huge multi-million dollar winter garden for the then Russian Deputy Prime Minister Igor Shalako. Nick found himself in trouble and decided to run with his family to Australia. The Stride family have told their story to author Sue Williams, who joins me now. Sue, a very warm welcome to RN Breakfast.
Oh, thanks very much.
This is an absolutely incredible story. How captivated were you when you started to hear the first details of what had happened to Nick and his family?
Absolutely. You kind of think it can't be true in this day and age that people would go off the grid and hide. But it's kind of like Swiss Family Robinson meets Mosquito Coast meets Alone or something. But it's actually true. And I was just amazed by the story and amazed that I hadn't heard anything about it at all. But when I met the family, I mean, they were so traumatized by everything that had happened to them. And they've got such a detailed memory of everything that went on because they ended up spending over 3 years completely off the grid on the Dampier Peninsula, which, as you know, is
remote.
The really kind of frontier country in the far northwest of Western Australia. And there was nothing there, really. They were living on beaches. They lived in a couple of Aboriginal communities. They worked on retreats where people would go and just fish occasionally. Sometimes they would see nobody for months, especially in the cyclone season and with the raging bushfires. It's amazing that they actually survived, really.
So how did the trouble begin and when did it begin?
It began around 2005. Nick and his family went to Russia. He'd gone there originally to work on the new British embassy in Moscow, and he'd met Luda and they'd had the two kiddies and they went back to England. But Luda couldn't settle in England because she didn't really speak much English. So when he was offered the job building the fabulous winter garden for the Deputy Prime Minister, he was really thrilled and they came back to Russia. Everything was going fabulously. He became really important in the company and he was given access to lots of financial records and kind of working very, very closely with Igor Shuvalov. But people started getting paranoid about a foreigner knowing so much about their business. And he realised that he was being bugged everywhere he went. Every time he wanted to go back to Britain to renew his visa, they were saying, well, no, you can't take your wife and kids with you. And he suddenly realised that his whole life was being controlled by the Russians, really. He just wasn't free anymore. And the more they started getting paranoid about him, the more he started getting paranoid. So in October 2010, he kind of hatched this elaborate plan to get out of Russia, only carrying, you know, the clothes they had and the kids, a couple of toys. They went to London just on the saying that they wanted to renew their visas. They hid in a hotel for a few days and then caught the plane to the furthest point they felt from Russia, which was Australia.
And so Nick is originally from the UK, so they didn't have any permanent status or citizenship here in Australia.
No, that's right. But they applied for political asylum because they'd received a number of death threats from the Russians after that. And the immigration authorities in Australia agreed that they were in danger and that they couldn't be sent back to Britain or they couldn't be sent to Russia because they would be in danger of their lives. But they never satisfied the requirements for political asylum because back then it was the kind of very narrow five grounds of the Geneva Refugee Convention, kind of race and religion, nationality. And it didn't really cover them because what Nick Stride had also done was he whistleblew on his boss. There was an American journalist doing a big investigation into the corruption of the Russian government, and he had access to all this financial knowledge. And he told the journalist about it, and when it came out, he was obviously in even more danger. But whistleblowers aren't really covered by the Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, every single time he applied for political asylum, he spent 4 years battling with immigration. And in the end, he applied for lots of ministerial interventions, but everything failed. And Australian immigration authorities said, OK, we're going to send you back, you and your kids back to Britain, and we're going to send your wife back to Russia. And they kind of felt that would be to face certain death. They'd never see her again. So that's when they decided in November 2014 to actually run for it. And so they just disappeared into the Dampier Peninsula and nobody kind of knew what happened to them, really. And it was only when they emerged over 3 years later that people thought, geez, that's where they must have been.
Is there any evidence that the Russians ever got close to finding them in these remote parts of WA?
We think not, because, as you know, the Russians are very clever, and all the time that they were in hiding, they were hearing news of people who'd, kind of enemies of Putin, who'd met mysterious ends. There have been so many over the past few years. So I think if the Russians had caught them, they wouldn't be here today telling their story. But it's interesting, there were some good times when they were on the run, I think. You know, they were just fishing for food and mud crabbing and fighting with crocodiles over food. There were some fun times as a family, but Nick says every single day he was waiting for somebody to turn up who's either Russian or an Australian immigration official to kind of march them back or finish them off. So you kind of think of the stress and the tension under which that family were living all that time.
So what's the situation for the family now?
Well, when they finally came out of hiding from the Dampier Peninsula, they applied again for political asylum. And there was a new immigration minister, so they thought they might be successful this time. But the new immigration minister was Peter Dutton, and he said no again. So in the end, they made it over to New Zealand, and they were given political asylum in New Zealand in 2021, given protection and refugee status there. And Anya spent a bit longer, the daughter spent a bit longer in Australia, then she joined them just in July 2022. So now they're all together in New Zealand. They're still in a secret location because they're still judged to be in real danger of their lives. But they decided to write the book because it was such an incredible experience. And for them, it's kind of validation of everything they were doing. And they kind of wanted to tell other people what it was like, really. And, I mean, writing their story felt like an incredible privilege, but I kept having nightmares all the time.
I'm not surprised. It makes you look over your shoulder, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. And it's not just kind of, you know, fear of Russians, but it's also, you know, the kind of stories they had about, you know, crocodiles coming into their camp. They might be camping on the beach and fighting with sharks for food, and the snakes everywhere and the spiders. And, oh, my gosh, it sounds so hard for all of us who live in, most of us live in cities these days. But living in those really remote places, often with no telephone, no internet, of course, it would be really, really hard to survive, I think.
So it's been so interesting to talk to you. Thank you.
No, thank you very much.
That's Sue Williams there. She's the author of the book Run for Your Life, which is available now.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.